Wow, thank you. All right, we got to move fast tonight. Go to Luke chapter 5. We're continuing the series that we started last weekend, Wells of Salvation. But I want to open up with this point, this particular point. Why is there so many empty seats in the front row here? Come on, you guys know what I'm asking you to do. I don't preach to empty seats. Come on, do it quick. You're good, come on, there's two more seats here. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to consider the truths that I'm going to read to you. I want you to do more than that. Once you see the truth in these scriptures, I want you to do your best to apply them, because it will make a difference in the atmosphere here in this room tonight, and it'll definitely make a difference in your life. Now, it happened on a certain day, as he, speaking of Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. In other words, all the big shots, all the religious big shots, came out this particular day where Jesus was. Now, I want you to read the next phrase with me out loud, like your life depended on it. 1, 2, 3. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What is Jesus doing? He's teaching. What was Jesus doing? He's teaching. And as he's teaching, you listening to me? As he's teaching, what does the scripture say? What happened in the very atmosphere while he was teaching? Say it again with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And the presence of the power of the Lord was there to heal them. And could we just throw another word in? All. Amen. And the power of the Lord. Now, we understand there's many ways that healing could be transferred to individuals. Most of the time, it's laying on of hands. I don't know what it's about us. We want to feel something. But the scriptures tell us here that tonight, while you're sitting here, while the word of God is being taught, the power and the presence of the Lord is here to do what? Heal. You don't have to wait till the end of the service. You don't have to wait till we give a special invitation for people to come forward to have hands laid on them. You don't have to wait for us to pray over a cloth. You don't have to wait for us to anoint you with oil. Grab what you need from the presence of the Lord, because the anointing is on the word of God. Amen. When the word of God is preached, the power of God shows up. Amen. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So don't sit there like a bump on a log. Let faith rise up on the inside of you. And you don't have to be teaching about healing. The word is the word. It's the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans chapter 1. People get saved while you're sitting here just listening to the word being preached. Amen. Say this with me. The power
of God
is on his word. I'm going to take hold of whatever I need tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so we're talking about the most important person that's here on the planet right now. And who is that?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Amen. So, listen, we're going to go from a different angle tonight. Our goal is to establish ourselves in this fact, that the Holy Spirit of God, who came to earth on the day of Pentecost, here on earth now, residing in every believer, is the liaison between heaven and the church. You would have said a better amen if you really got that. We're going to talk about this more. Jesus turned over his whole ministry. We say, well, he turned it over to the disciples. Yeah, but he didn't turn it over to the disciples without giving them the empowerment they needed to finish the work that he started.
Amen.
And I don't know how this happened, because how did the church separate the Holy Spirit out of everything else? When Jesus said to the disciples, don't even think about leaving Jerusalem. In fact, tell them, don't even leave this house until you receive the promise of my Father, so that you could be witnesses unto me and you could finish the work of the ministry. Are you listening to this? How did the Holy Spirit become an add-on when he was the automatic, this is who you need to walk with you to go and complete what I told you to do?
Amen.
And yet today, a lot of the church, of course, nobody in here, you know, you wouldn't do this, but a lot of the church, they separate out the Holy Spirit and make him a separate subject. Oh, you one of them Holy Spirit church? Well, what other kind of church is there? If Jesus founded the church on the fact that the Holy Spirit would be the one to show them things to come, to remind them of everything Jesus said, to lead them and guide them into all truth, told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father. If the Holy Spirit is the foundation of the church, how do we separate the Holy Spirit outside of the church? How do we treat him in our lives? Like, oh yeah, well, I don't know if you know, you're one of them Holy Spirit people. Are you born again?
Yes.
Then the Holy Spirit lives in you. You are a Holy Spirit person.
Yes.
He's the one who brought life inside you. He's the one who raised you from the dead.
Yes.
Pursue him.
Amen.
Get to know him.
Yes.
Establish yourselves in a lifestyle of communicating with, walking with, cooperating with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Look, if you don't, for any other reason than this, there is a world outside these walls that is dying just like you were before you came into the kingdom.
Amen.
You listening to me?
Yes.
They need a Holy Ghost person to come across their path, to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like somebody filled with the Holy Ghost came and told you about Jesus so that you got born again.
Yes.
Don't they deserve what you had?
Yes.
Amen.
God created us for a specific purpose of sharing life with us. And above all things, he wants us to share our life with him. The ups and the downs, the victories and the failures. He desires intimacy, and he accomplishes that through the Holy Spirit in us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is who connects us to heaven.
Amen.
You listening to me?
Yes.
At the Last Supper, Jesus told the disciples that from that point forward, they were to center their lives around him. I'm talking about him, the Holy Spirit. It's not that Jesus didn't play a part in their life anymore. Said Jesus was ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and turned everything over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 5. You following me?
Yes.
But now I go away to him. Now this is the Last Supper. This is at the Last Supper. Turn to somebody and say it's at the Last Supper. The what? The Last Supper. Last Supper what? Last Supper before he goes to the cross. He's giving the most important detailed instructions that the disciples are going to need. Amen?
Yes.
Remember this. Maybe this will make you, help you remember it better. Imagine somebody on their deathbed. You're not going to talk about the weather. You're not going to talk about whatever, the latest the Netflix thing that you discovered. You're going to want to impart into your loved ones everything they're going to need because you're going away. So what does Jesus predominantly speak of at these last few hours before he's arrested and then he's going to go to the cross? Two major, major subjects. The Holy Spirit and love. Go read it. John chapter 13 all the way to John chapter 17. It's all recorded, the Last Supper. And what is he talking? Not talking about anything else frivolous. He's talking about this, Holy Spirit. That's the night he introduced the Holy Spirit to the disciples.
Amen.
Told them what they could count on the Holy Spirit to do for them. And then what did he do? A new commandment I give unto you.
Amen.
That you love one another even as I have loved you.
Amen.
Now here we are in the last days. And what's the most important topics that we could walk in right now? The Holy Spirit and love. This is what we need to impart into a world. Because some of them are going to get left behind when the trumpet blows. Take the opportunity now to impart in your loved ones, your coworkers, your neighbors, whoever God puts across your path. Do your best to deposit those seeds in them. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch this now. Back to verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks, where are you going? In John chapter 16. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Of course. They realized, they didn't understand fully what he was saying, but they realized there's something different tonight. There's something sobering tonight. They realized in what he was saying to them. He's trying to give them a message. He said, because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I want you to grab this. Grab this. Jesus said this to the disciples. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Who sends the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Jesus himself said to him, it's better, they're sorrowful. But he said to him, it's better for me to go. If I go, the Holy Spirit will come. Do you imagine that? Let's skip down to verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Look at this, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of what?
Truth.
When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, whatever who hears?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Whatever he hears, he will do what?
Speak.
He will speak. To who?
Us.
And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit's going to take what's of me, and he's going to declare it to you.
Amen.
Knowing this, do you realize how serious it is for us to make sure that we nurture a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Why? You hearing from God is dependent upon the relationship that you have with the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know if I like all this Holy Ghost stuff. What? What makes you think you have a say in the matter? Well, I'm a word person. If you were a word person, you wouldn't say stuff like that. Because you would recognize the truth. Maybe you're a religious tradition person. Well, you know, we didn't do it where I came from. Well, then why'd you leave from where you came from? So, what instructions were he giving them hours before he's going to get arrested? Hours before he's going to go to the cross, he told them, you need to now connect with this Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's the same message that we're trying to cover in this series. We need to, yes, you got born again. The Holy Spirit lives inside you.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit is not just to live inside us to save us so we don't go to hell. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is in us so that we would have the power that we need. We would have the wisdom that we need. We would receive the guidance that we need in order for us to fulfill Jesus' ministry here on the earth.
Amen.
So in a real sense, he turned the ministry over to us, but he doesn't expect us to do it without his empowerment.
Amen.
Okay, but listen, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's not going to grab you and throw you up against the wall and force you to do things. Then he would cease being love. So that means we have to cooperate voluntarily with the Holy Spirit so that he can flow through us to affect the lives of others around us.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
Since the job of the Holy Spirit, we need him because he points us back to the Father and to Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings us into intimacy with the Father and the Son. Now, listen to the prayer that Jesus offered up to God on the night that we're talking about here, the Last Supper. It's recorded for us in John chapter 17. Are you getting this tonight?
Yes.
Verse 20. Jesus is praying to the Father. He knows it's a very short time that he's got left. He's going to be arrested within the next hour or so. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, look at this now. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about connecting with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That they, talking about the disciples, all may be one as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. You see us all together? Okay. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. What is this whole prayer about? Connecting us all together, connecting us all together, networking us all together. And who does it? Who pulls all the strings together? The Holy Spirit. This prayer is fulfilled in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is the connection between the believer, the Savior, and our Father. And Jesus reconciled us to the Father through his death, burial, and resurrection so that we would be able to receive a revelation of the Father, and the person of the Trinity who brings a revelation to us is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there's a place I want to get to tonight. So I'm going to bypass some stuff, and I'm going to write to the heart of where I want to bring us in this message tonight. Let's go back to John chapter 14, verse 16. Remember this, that Jesus came to rescue us from anything that threatens intimacy between us and him. I'm going to say that again because I want it to sink in. Jesus came to rescue us, mankind, from anything that threatens the intimacy between us and him. Would you agree that Adam and Eve had an intimate relationship with God? Would you agree?
Yes.
How about you over here?
Yes.
You agree? Something came in to bring division between man and the Father in heaven. Yes?
Yes.
And immediately God says, one day there's going to be somebody that's going to show up that's going to crush the head of this serpent. And in the process of crushing the head of this serpent, his heel will be crushed. We know that's a crucifixion. Okay. But what was the goal? To eliminate anything that would threaten the intimacy between us and God. Amen. The devil is still trying to separate us, even those of us that are born again, through deception, through wrong thoughts, through feelings, through sickness, through disease, through depression, through poverty, through every curse that came upon the earth. The goal for the curse was to separate us from the intimacy with the Father. The goal of the blessing is to bring us back. You didn't get it. The devil exists to bring separation between you and your Father in heaven. What did the devil trick mankind to bring into this earth? Everything that's contrary to the will of God. And then blames God for it. So as soon as somebody goes to the doctor, they get a bad report. Sometimes, ignorantly, what's the first thing that will come out of a person's mouth? How could God let this happen to me? It's not God. It's the devil. But he wants you to think it's God so that it'll increase that space between you and the Father in heaven. When we realize that, when the bad report comes, and regardless of what the report is about, whatever the content of the report is, the intention is to increase the space between you and your Father in heaven. Don't let it happen. We're talking about intimacy. John 14, 16. Jesus speaking. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, the Holy Spirit, may do what?
Abide
with you for how long? Forever. Not till the next time you sin. Forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Now, Jesus is talking about himself right now. And will be in you. Amen. Jesus saying, you know him. Here I am. You know him. But at that point, I'll be in you. My spirit will be in you. Amen. You see him pointing to the Holy Ghost? He's pointing to the Holy Spirit. Okay. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18. Man, this one, you better write it down. You better get a tattoo with it on your arm, whatever. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen. A little while longer, the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. What's he saying? Let's close this circle. Let's close the circle so that nothing can come in between us anymore. And to make sure that nothing comes in between us anymore, I'm going to deposit my spirit in you. So that even though you can't see me physically, I'm going to be with you always. Amen. Say this out loud. I'm not an orphan. He's with me always. Hallelujah. But there is a deeper relationship that the Holy Spirit wants to draw us into so that he can move through us to draw others also. Okay, now watch this now. I'm getting a little bit ahead of me. I'm in part three right now, but this is part two. But I want to just throw out this little antipasto to you, okay? This little appetizer, okay? You know, an antipasto, you're not supposed to fill up on antipasto. It's supposed to open up your appetite. Okay? So don't fill up on this, but let it open up your appetite. Okay? Watch this. There is a deeper relationship that the Holy Spirit wants to draw us into. See, Jesus made a distinction. There is the Holy Spirit within. Say within, go like this, within. And then the Holy Spirit upon. You get it? Come on, let's do it. The Holy Spirit upon. Now watch, let's separate those words. Up, on. Holy Spirit within? That's salvation. But the Holy Ghost is not satisfied with just that. Because salvation prepares you for heaven. But Jesus said there's another experience to prepare you for earth. You getting this? You need them both. You turn to somebody saying, you need them both. Now, anybody in the world can receive salvation. But not everybody in the world can experience the second. Ready? Up, on. Only those who already have the Holy Ghost within can receive the Holy Ghost upon. But it involves your cooperation. Jesus is the baptizer. And what's the reason for that? There's a deeper relationship the Holy Spirit wants to draw us into so that he can move through us. The Holy Ghost wants to move through you. Okay, it's not supposed to be just, well, I'm going to heaven, the heck with everybody else. It's supposed to be, I'm going to heaven now, and I want to bring as many people with me as possible. When I get there, I want a train of people as far as the eye can see. And I want to hear from Jesus. They're here because of you. What better reward could we expect? Worry about mansions. Worry about what? We'll kiss the ground when we get there. Just thank God we're there. Whatever he wants to bless us with, that's his business. But man, we want to bring people with us. This way, every one of those people will have a train behind them of individuals in line as far as you can see. And Jesus will say to them, they're here because of you. John chapter 4, verse 5. You going to give me another 10 minutes? Oh, you really didn't give me any confidence there. You're going to give me another 10 minutes? Good, then that means I have 20. You give me 10 and I'll take 10. Verse 5, I want you, I know some of you are going, oh, I know this story. I've heard it preached so many times. That's dangerous. Because the Word of God is alive. So we see Jesus something more, something deeper. Watch this now. So he came to a city, you know he's talking about Jesus, right? Came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So we know geographically where this is. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, noontime. Hot. Sun's blazing. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. She came to do what?
Draw water.
Hard work, hard labor, sun, sweating. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Don't have time to explain that one. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you a drink of living water. What would he give her? Living water. She's still not getting it. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and livestock? The answer to that question is yes. The greater one is there. He is here. Jesus answered and said to her, pay close attention to this. Because we talked about this last week. Whoever drinks of this water, right, picture him pointing to the well. Whoever drinks of this water will do what? Thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a what? Fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. She's not stupid. Give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Hey, listen, she's saying, if this is going to make my life easy, if you're teaching me like a life hack here, give me that water, because I don't want to come out here in the blazing sun, picking up these heavy clay jars. Now watch this now. The drink she needed was personal. To ease the pain. Because those of you that know the rest of the story, Jesus then says to her, go get your husband. How many know the story? Yes. Go get your husband and bring him here. And she says, I don't have no husband. And he goes, you're right. And the guy you're with right now, can I say it? Are we recording this? I'm going to say it anyway. And the guy you're shacking up with right now is not your husband. She freaks out because now she got outed. She drops her jar, runs back into the city. And what does she say? Notice it says, go read it. And she went and told the men of the city, who obviously knew her pretty well. Hey, there's a guy out there at Jacob's well that just told me everything about my life. Could this guy be the Messiah? Yeah. Light bulb went off. You getting this?
Yes.
Now watch. The drink she needed was a personal drink to ease the pain of unsuccessful relationships. Because she's on guy number 5. And this don't look like it's working out too good. But once she took that drink, watch this now. Once she took that drink, it exploded on the inside of her. And what did she immediately do? Run back into the village and tell everybody what's going on. The drink became a river, just like we talked about last week. Jesus said, I'll give you a drink, but that drink on the inside of you is going to spring up and a fountain of living water is going to come out. When you get the chance to share Jesus with somebody, you are sprinkling that water, that living water, all over them. You are satisfying the thirst of life. You are bringing relief to somebody who's desperate. You are bringing life to those who are spiritually dead. But watch this. You got to take the drink first. If you got nothing in you, you got nothing to give anybody. Well, I'm born again. That's enough. You took the drink. You took the initial drink. You took the initial drink. Okay? Now, for those of you that might still be pondering this whole thing, let me bring you back to Resurrection Sunday, First Easter Sunday. They're all in the house together. They're afraid they're going to come after them next and crucify them. They're hiding. Jesus shows up. Walks through the walls, just shows up. Doesn't use the door. And what does he do? He shows himself to them. They believe in him. And he says this to them. Two major things. Go preach forgiveness. And then he what? Breathe on them, and the scriptures tell us, very last chapter of the Gospel of John, the scriptures tell us that they received the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? They got born again. Amen. They got born again. How do we know that? Because just a little while later, he said to them, who are already born again, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes to be my witnesses. Secondary experience. Secondary experience. Out of the mouth of Jesus himself. Now, you took the initial drink when you received the Holy Spirit and salvation. He's in there. He's there. If you received Christ, if you declared your faith in him, he's in there. The Holy Spirit came to live inside you. But according to Jesus, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, head of the church, you need this secondary experience to carry on his ministry. Amen. The identifying mark of the church in the book of Acts, which really should be called the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the disciples, okay? The identifying mark was signs, wonders, miracles. Preaching of the word, they healed the sick, they raised the dead, they performed miracles, the identifying mark. The identifying marks as far as headquarters in heaven never changed. Never changed. The preaching of the word should be accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. That never went away. Never stop. People might have let go of it over the centuries, but it was never God's intent for that to be let go. You listening to me?
Yes.
First experience, salvation. Secondary experience is that baptism, that rising up of the Holy Spirit on the inside, springing up, bringing everlasting life, bringing living water, bringing refreshing, bringing healing, opening up blind eyes, causing the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. Miracles. Miracle. There's people in here tonight that received a miracle, don't even realize it. You walked in here tonight. You walked in here tonight, and questions that you had got answered tonight. That's not a miracle? Now, understand. Now, let's bring some balance here, okay? Let's bring some balance. Because you hear, back in the old days, I used to hear people, not here particularly, but in other churches. Well, all the pastor did was preach today. All the pastor did was preach today? No, doesn't anybody realize the first time that Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit, he introduced him as the teacher? The most predominant miracle that the Holy Spirit does is take somebody like me, who has no business being up here, and teach through a human being and bring forth the Word of God that will produce the miracle of salvation in somebody's life. That's not a miracle. So let's balance it all out, because this is the season that we're in right now. It was prophesied years ago. We are in the season, this is what the church needs to be walking in right now. We are in the season of the balance of the Word and the Spirit together. It takes the Word and the Spirit together to finish up the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this last days. Can't be all. Just miracles, signs, and wonders. Because people, listen to me and hear my heart, and I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to reveal this to you. People don't grow in that atmosphere. They get refreshed. They get their needs met. They get picked up because they're knocked down. But you don't grow in that atmosphere. Where do you grow? You grow in the atmosphere of the Word being taught. That's how we grow spiritually. Are you getting this?
Yes.
However, if you're all on this side, The word. You dry up like a dead bone, okay? If you're on this side, it's a carnival. But every once in a while, it's nice to visit the carnival. But you don't stay there. Is anybody getting this tonight? I'm going to throw a name out. If you don't know who he is, go look it up online and go find out about this man. A gentleman in England named Smith Wigglesworth. Has anybody ever heard that name before? Smith Wigglesworth prophesied in the 40s to another gentleman who went home to be with the Lord while we were in Bible school, Lester Sumrall, okay? And told him, I see, the last time he met with Lester Sumrall was just before World War I was beginning. And he said, I see it. And Brother Lester Sumrall said, what do you see? I see this revival in the last days. Amen. Now I'm paraphrasing. Go look it up. Go on Google. Look up Smith Wigglesworth prophecy. Okay? And he said, there'll be a coming together of the Word and the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And there was. I don't have time tonight. Some weekend maybe we'll do a whole study of church history in the past 100 years. Because after I got saved, I said to my pastor at that time, I want to talk to you. And we set up an appointment. I sat across his desk and I said to him, where did all this come from? Because I was raised a good Catholic boy. Where did all this come from? And he said to me this, we're not new on the scene, we're back on the scene.
Amen.
And then started walking me through. Now I got saved in the 80s. I've seen the moves of God since 1984. I got born again right in the middle of the teaching revival. You guys back there, that row there, if your mom was here tonight, Florence, she would know. She was there the night I got born again. She'll know exactly what I was talking about. That time was teaching. Why? To be nice, because years prior to that, it was a carnival. And there was a whole lot of shaking going on, but nobody knew the Word. I didn't know this. I get born again in the middle of this. The Holy Spirit is pouring out his anointing, teaching. Great teachers of the Word. And that brought us all the way into the 90s. And in the 90s, we started drying up. And so the Spirit of God started moving more. And the anointing for joy and laughter. And what happened? We got refreshed. And then we went back into the word with the refreshing on the inside. And then you had the outpouring of the Spirit that took place in Pensacola in the late 90s. We were there. Did you come, Beth?
Yeah.
No. Some of my kids were there with us. Some people that were in the church at that time were there. Pastor Cap was there. You walked into that church and it was like you walked into heaven itself. I've never experienced. You literally walked into a cloud of anointing. You didn't want to breathe the wrong way. The presence of God was like a wet, heavy, beautiful, warm blanket that was just on you. And just like, oh my God, I want to die right here and go to heaven. And thousands of people got born again. Thousands of people got delivered. Thousands of people got sent out into ministries all over the world. The church has never been the same. And this happens every once in a while, every few decades. And I'm telling you, we're right on the edge now. It's happening. It's happening. The fish are jumping in the boat. We don't even have to throw the net out. People are coming to the Lord. This young generation, they're coming in hungry. They're tired of the garbage of the generation before. They're tired of the lies. The devil pushed his envelope too far. He went too far. This young generation today, they want to see genuine. They want to hear truth. They don't want to hear fairy tales. And God's bringing them in. And God's bringing them in. And God, listen to me. Listen to me. You want to see one mark of revival? You want to see one mark of an awakening? Last Tuesday morning, 66 men showed up for a Bible study at 7 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Dear God, when you can get the guys out of the house at that time in the morning to come and study the Word, and at first we thought maybe it's the coffee, maybe it's the pastries. No, they don't even eat anything. They come in, they want to sit down. Come on, let's go. God is moving. Don't get left on the sidewalk. God is moving. God is, Brother Hagin, when we were in Bible school, said, don't be like on the sidewalk watching a parade go by. He's, get in it. And this is what he said. In the last days, God will work through the small local churches. It won't be the big mega churches anymore. The attention and the focus and the anointing and the emphasis will be on the local church. Amen. It's happening. And you're part of it. Amen?
Amen?
I'm done. I don't have anything else to say right now, but this. Listen to me closely. Stand up, everybody. Pastor Beth, come up here. Joanna, Pastor Joya, Pastor Tom, Raina, Victor, Barb. Move down this way. Not time to leave yet. Put the chocolate chip cookies away. We prayed tonight, the beginning of the service, for people to recommit themselves to the Lord. Now, do you want the fire? Do you want that baptism? Do you want the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Not just in, but up on. You need this. You need this. If that's you, and you listen to me, do not come up here if you're saying on the inside, well, let me go see if anything happens. Go eat a chocolate chip cookie. You're not ready yet. But if you have faith to receive, and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith, just like you receive salvation by faith,
amen.
You need to cooperate. Okay? If that's you, come up here. We'll pray for you.